Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Jen A. I'm here in Colorado and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Lord. Today is Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. It's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and today we're reading from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter titled Bill's Story. We're on page number 15. The first paragraph, it begins with, "My wife and I abandon ourselves with enthusiasm," through one paragraph ending in, "It's a design for living that really works in rough going." Today's readers are Team Tuesday. We have Joni C., Bonnie B., Heidi B., Elena C., Carolyn S.H., Vanita L., and Eileen M. The reference numbers for yesterday are the following. For Monday, April 22nd, 2024, the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Big Book Study recording is 21,334, 21,334. The 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Big Book Study recording is 21,335. That's 21,335. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, ideology, or religious doctrine, and we take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Here's our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose. It's to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joni C. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Joni, gratefully recovered but not cured from Minnesota. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
I will now ask Bonnie B. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, friends. Bonnie B. from Florida. Gratefully recovered today. The 12 traditions. Number 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And step 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much for allowing me to be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Joni C. and Bonnie B. Well, this is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're going to read a paragraph or two from the literature, then we'll stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There are no absence requirements for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. So we are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. And in order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we resume our study of Bill's story. In the Big Book on page 15, we're going to read that first paragraph. And so I'm now going to ask Heidi B. to begin reading.
Good morning. Heidi B., recovered for today in New York. My wife and I abandoned ourselves with enthusiasm to the idea of helping other alcoholics to solution of their problems. It was fortunate, for my old business associates remained skeptical for a year and a half, during which I found little work. I was not too well at the time and was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. This sometimes nearly drove me back to drink, but I soon found that when all other measures failed, work with another alcoholic would save the day. Many times I have gone to my old hospital in despair. On talking to a man there, I would be amazingly lifted up and set on my feet. It is a design for living that works in rough going. Yeah, there's so much here. Abandoned ourselves with enthusiasm, right? We might have heard some of our fellows describe this word as fun to say. Enthejos is the root, the Greek root, and it means inspired by God. And I feel like the more that I'm here, the longer that I'm around, the more enthusiastic I am about helping others. And just like this disease is experiential, so is the recovery, and so is the progression of my spiritual condition. My experience has shown me that the more that I work with others, the better my life is. And don't know exactly why that works that way, but it does, and I love it. And the other thing that sort of jumps out for me is the fact that he had some time with self-pity and resentment. And I think many of us know, if we know anything about Bill, that he suffered with depression. And it was a relief to me, even though that was very selfish, I'm sure, that he had those things because it told me that life didn't need to be rainbows and unicorns in order for me to be okay. In fact, when life isn't rainbows and unicorns, which is often enough, you know, I know that I have this design for living that really works. And, you know, I've shared recently that I spent the last several months watching my niece and nephew go through chemo, and those things are really hard to experience and to go through, but I continue to work with my sponsees, and I continue to help other compulsive overeaters, and in doing that, I'm lifted up, and I get to, you know, I get to walk through those things and still have a life that's happy and good. And, you know, I don't know, again, like, why it works that way, but, you know, it says, like, in working with others, like, this is the bright spot of our lives, and it really is. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm, like, insane about sponsoring, but yeah, I love it. I love working with others. I think that, you know, it's where I get my spiritual growth. It's where I see all the things that, you know, my higher power needs me to see when I'm not able to see them for myself. And yeah, I think I'll just leave it there. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thanks so much, Heidi B. from New York. All right. Well, we value everyone's experience, so we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. I'm going to take a list of names of people who would like to share on what was read today. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, one at a time, that would be great.
Melissa C.
Katie G.
Gina S.
Katie G. from Boston.
Melissa C. Katie G. Tina F.
Nancy J. from Geneva, Illinois.
Nancy J. All right.
Joanne. Tennessee.
Joanne B.
from Vermont.
Vermont. Now give me your last initial when you get back up. And then somebody else is in there. Sorry, I missed you. Nancy, Joanne.
Chris G. in Tennessee.
Chris. Thank you, Chris. Chris with a K. Okay. Let's see. I'm writing all these down. Okay, perfect. Let's stop there. Thank you, everybody. I have Melissa C., Katie G., Tina S., Nancy J., Joanne, I think it's my handwriting is terrible when you're writing this fast. Oh, my goodness. Joanne C. from Vermont. I'm pretty sure that's you. And Chris G. from Tennessee. Hey, let's start off with Melissa this morning. Good morning, friend. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, Jen. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, when I love this paragraph because to me it's such a demonstration of how God entered Bill's heart because, you know, prior to this, here we read this guy is like, Bill is incredibly ambitious, solely focused on, you know, his career and getting ahead and making money and all that, which is great, right? And now it's like, and he says here he's fortunate, like he was fortunate because he's discredited and people don't trust him and he can't get work. And why does, you know, and why is it that he's saying that this is a good thing? Is it afforded him time and focus on growing, you know, this program, this fellowship, this outreach that he was forced to do with other alcoholics because he found that this was the thing that worked. This was exactly what helped him when he was plagued with waves of self-pity. And I, you know, yeah, me too. I mean, I had this idea that if you get recovered, you're never going to feel self-pity again. You're never going to feel, you know, everything's going to be great. And while I did not have a situation where I had any difficulty, you know, with my career, but I had a lot of issues with my family, and I was plagued with ways of self-pity. It was
You know, and when I think about living in self-pity, you know, what is that as opposed to just being sad? You know, when I have self-pity, what I feel is this should not be occurring to me. This is unfair, you know, unjust. I'm questioning, I'm certainly questioning God, but I also know for myself, self-pity is extreme grief that pushes others away, that shuts people out. And it also, for myself, when I'm plagued with ways of self-pity, I can easily justify poor behavior, saying, well, you know, it's because of X, Y, and Z that's happening to me, therefore that's why it's okay that I'm behaving this way. And yet I know that is ineffective. So in my experience, you know, when life cut, you know, really lifey, when things were really difficult and have been difficult, with whether it's with my mom's dementia, when my kids were suffering with mental illness, when, you know, lots of other things, the thing that worked like a charm was working with others. And, you know, I know I've got like 5 seconds left. I think the other thing that happens is that we go from having to do it to longing to do it. And that's a true transformation. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Melissa C. from New York. Up next, we have Katie G., followed by Tina S. Good morning, Katie.
Hey, Jen. Thanks for taking the meeting. Katie G., recovered compulsive eater in Boston. And yeah, I love that he's extremely lifted up and set on my feet. And you know, I've been in the rooms for 20 years, and life has happened. And I, too, like, I had this arrogant idea that because I had been a compulsive eater, because I had been anorexic and bulimic, that it wasn't fair, like that I had done my time and that I didn't need to suffer anymore. And the truth is, and this is the hard nut to swallow, is that life is not fair. Life is not fair. And I could list the things that have happened into my life. But what I can tell you now for sure is that because of the work that I do on a daily basis, I can most of the time see what these things are doing for me and not to me, because, and that's the switch, right? That's the switch that I need to do. And one of the things that I really love is that as they wrote this big book, I was given a design for living that works. For me, I do need to help others 1,000%, but I also have to remember the instructions on 84 to 88 that they wrote. I know they wrote it after this was shared, but I think it's important for me, at least I'll say that, to acknowledge that the big book never leaves me alone. So if you're on page 86, when we retire at night, we constructively review our day, right? And it's going, like Bill is saying, he's plagued by waves of self-pity. Well, at night, I'm asked to ask myself, where was I resentful, selfish, dishonest, and afraid? And then in the next paragraph, it talks to me about on awakening. So I'm still not alone. And then the next paragraph, it says, in thinking about our day, we may face indecision. Here we ask God, still not alone. That's my whole day. We come to rely upon it. We usually conclude the period of meditation. And then if others, and then we pray for, and then we pray for others. And so my experience is throughout this book, it's like, deal with your problem and go help others. Deal with your problem and go help others. And I have to say, like, for me, I think that doing 10 step 10s, I thought that doing 10 step 10s on one issue would help me, and it doesn't. What helps me is to do the work, to make an amends, and get out of myself. Because what I find is that when I get off the topic of my current, you know, soapbox sad story that's going on in my life, God gives me so much freedom, and I can actually detach from what's happening, and I can actually laugh at myself. And then, you know what? A lot of times, God gives me the answers through my sponsees, and I'm like, oh, you're right, God. That's the action I'm going to take. So I'll just wrap with this. I'm just so grateful that I don't have to do anything. I never knew how to live my life, and here today, I have a design for living that always works. And with that, I pass.
On the money. Thanks, Katie G. from Boston. Up next, we have Tina S. from Florida, and then we'll listen to Nancy J. Hey, Tina.
Thanks so much, Jen. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Wow. Some great shares this morning. Ditto, ditto, ditto. You know, when I when I first went through the steps, I don't know that I was all enthusiastic about helping others. You know, I was really so self-centered that, you know, it was all about me. Oh, I don't have anything to give away and all this kind of stuff. And so what did spur me or move me was this self-pity stuff, because that was something I did not like about myself. I did not like that because I knew it ruined me. And so what I did was what was suggested by a sponsor, you know, turn my thoughts to helping others. This, and it says in this paragraph, this would surely save the day, and it surely did, you know. And so through that experience is, you know, why I just continue to help other people, because I didn't want to feel the way that I felt, you know. And I also, like it was shared, you know, for me anyway, you know, it's all, for me, it's all about the 10th step. You know, because when I'm disturbed, there's something wrong right here, you know. And so what do I do is I look at myself, and part of that 10th step, the last part, is we turn our thoughts to helping others. You know, and that's where the real solution is in turning our thoughts to helping others. And I was always told that. And today, you know, and most times my first thought is, I don't want to do this. That's always my first thought. But my second thought is, I have to do this. And once I pick up the phone or once I talk to somebody, I want to do this, you know. And that's the difference today. I know what the solution is. You know, I want the freedom. I want the transformation to continue to happen for me. I'm a person of more. I continue to want more. So I got to do more. I have to do more. And so I try to do that today. And I'm not perfect by any means, but, you know, one day at a time, you know, I do what it takes to be free. With that, I'll pass. Thanks. Looking forward to other shares for sure.
Thank you, Tina S. from Florida. Up next, Nancy J. Good morning, Nancy.
Hi, Jen. I'm Nancy J. from Geneva, Illinois. And what I want to say about this paragraph is that it tells us, well, first of all, at the top of the page, it tells us we're certain to have trials and low spots. So we know this is life, you know, no matter who we are, this is life. And what do we do when life gets so rough? Well, it says here, when all other measures fail, then we work with another, in our case, compulsive overeater. But what's interesting, it says, when all other measures have failed. So let's think about, for people like us, what are these other measures that are likely to fail? Well, for us, it could be 10 steps. It could be talking to other compulsive overeaters, writing. It could be a new diet. It could be increased weighing and measuring of food. It could be increased prayer. It could be reading our literature. These are all great things. But when they all fail, we are not going to go back, he says, to drink, to us go back to binging. No. What do? We work with another compulsive overeater. And there's a promise here that this will save the day. And that it's also a promise that we have a design for living that works in rough going. So how wonderful that is. We don't have to fear the rough going. We have a wonderful answer here with a lot of beautiful promises. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nancy J. from Geneva, Illinois. Up next, we have Joni C. I think it's Joni C. from Vermont. Am I correct?
It's Joanne from Vermont.
Oh,
how are
God.
You?
Thank you, Joanne. I wrote it so fast because I didn't want to miss you. Okay, Joanne B. from
That's
Vermont.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. I'm Joanne B. from Vermont, recovered compulsive overeater, and really happy to share this morning and listen to these great shares. Normally, I'm in my car on my way to work, and I have the week off, which is so nice. This is something that I need to read about, and I need to hear other people talk about, because my time is very limited, and I have been sponsoring since for the last year and a half, but you know, I've also heard And I've also read in the big book that it's like, it's not supposed to be just when it's convenient for me. And that's the way I look at it. I'm always thinking about my own time. And I think that's the wrong way of looking at it completely. That I need to, it has to be a little bit inconvenient for me at times, and that's okay. And that's the point, because, you know, I need to give up being comfortable in order to help another compulsive overeater when it's not convenient for me. But in doing so, I'm not only helping somebody else, but I'm going to get that gift of you know, spiritual awakening, and I'm going to be able to keep what I have and continue to be, to like deepen my spiritual life by doing that. And I need to just get over myself and do the work. So that's what I'm learning. I'm learning that I need to, you know, because if, you know, I'm all about easy, you know, and I heard other people talk about this too, like all about easy, all about convenient in my life. I have a pretty demanding job, and I only have a little bit of time at night, and I'm pretty tired at night. But I know that when I do the work and I work with other people, that it is rewarding, and I do feel better, and I stop thinking about my own problems, and I start focusing out, you know, get out of myself, because we are self, you know, I am self-centered. That's the whole matter of fact of being, you know, a recovered overeater, recovered alcoholic as well. Like I'm completely self-centered, and I think about myself all the time. But when I work with others, and I help others, it's so rewarding. So this has been really great reading for me today, and I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Joe and B from Vermont. Glad you're here with us this morning. Next, we have Chris G from Tennessee. Go ahead, Chris.
Thank you, Jen. And thank you, everybody, for sharing and doing service. And so helping others, I think, is the topic. It's helping others, or it can be a topic anyway. what did that bring to my mind? Well, my experience was that I was familiar with Overeaters Anonymous, but not with people who had long time sobriety or long time abstinence or a long time success in having a program that worked. And I saw examples of failure, and I didn't know how to be a success when all my examples were people who were struggling, immensely struggling. And so I don't know that I prayed about it, but the idea came to me that the steps were written by alcoholics. So I started attending some AA meetings, even though I'm not an alcoholic and I did not identify as an alcoholic. So I didn't really participate. I just listened. Oh, my goodness, just listening. What a concept, listening. And what I saw was an example. I saw an example of, there was a couple of guys that had been there, you know, sober for 25, 30 years. And I said, well, how do they do it? What do they look like? You know, what does it look like that they're doing? So that leading by example. So that's my number one thought, is that we lead by example. And then my it quickly it goes to suit up and show up, because that's showing people, you know, how, show the way. And then so I got to sponsoring. For me, the most thing that I get out of sponsoring, besides my friends, is honesty. Because if I tell a sponsee, well, you might try this or give a suggestion or whatever, I have to listen to myself, and I have to ask myself, am I doing that? am I asking somebody to do something that I'm not doing? And who do I think I am? And so it brings me right down to the basics. Who do I think I am? And what am I supposed to do? And I am so excited that I even consider asking God, what is it that you want? What is it, God, that you want? And sometimes I'm not sure, but that's okay. At least I'm asking the question. So I'm going to pass. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Chris G. from Tennessee. And if you folks have just joined us on the line this morning, we're reading out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in the chapter Bill's Story. We're in the Big Book on page number 15. On that first paragraph, my wife and I abandon ourselves with enthusiasm. And I'm going to take a list of names. We do value everyone's experience, so we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'll give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, one at a time, we'll take another lineup. Go right ahead.
10,
Lisa B.
Karen K.
from Florida.
Nancy Karen K.
Claire E. from the UK.
Okay. So... That was so good. All right. That was the biggest mishmash of voices I think I've ever heard. Let's try it again. There's a gentleman at the top with a deep voice. What's your name?
Lee O.
Nancy P.
Susan G.
Claire E. from the UK.
Okay, let me tell you what I heard. There's a gentleman that I'm totally missing. I've heard Karen K., Claire E., Susan G., Lee O., who is the gentleman that spoke? Yep.
You get Mary Lou G.
10
nope.
K from Florida.
Ken K from Florida. Thank you, Ken. I was waiting for you. Was it
Ken.
Mary Lou
like
G?
That.
Is that E?
Yes, Mary Lou G.
And Donna
M. And I'm done taking names, so hold on just a second. Ken, is it K-E-N? I'm sorry.
It's T-A-N, like the sun tan.
Ken, thank you so much. I appreciate you. I heard you first. I wanted to make sure I got you on there. Okay,
thank
let me
so
tell
much.
You who I heard. There's a lot of people, but these are the people that I wrote down. So Tan, T-A-N-K from Florida, Mary Lou G, Karen K, Claire E, Susan G, Lee O, and Nancy P. If we have time for more names, we'll take them after that. So go ahead, Tan. Thank you so much for your patience this morning.
Hello, is it, shall I talk or?
Yes, you should go first. Thank you so
oh,
much.
Thank
go
you
right
so
ahead,
much.
Sir.
Thank you
You're
so
welcome.
Much. So thanks a lot for all the great shares and for the service. So when I was listening and reading this paragraph, I mean, a couple of things came into my mind. The first one was remain skeptical for a year. And I remember that when in 2017, I came into the program and I got abstinent. I made my amends. And one of the biggest amends was obviously my wife. And so it was a very, very long dialogue. And at the end, I asked her, what can I do to make it better? You know, what can I do? And she said, actually, nothing. Because I do not trust you. It was 25 years of self-centeredness. I have to wait that something really changes. And then it took some time, but around 6-7 months later, she realized that OA is something that has really is a solution that helps me change this self-centeredness, or at least, you know, a way of looking to other people. So that's one thing that came into my mind. So it was not a year, but it was at least 6 months with my wife. And now she doesn't know what OA is, but she knows that it's good for me. The other thing that struck me is I was not too well at the time and was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. And that's very important to here for me that you can have an emotional relapse, because it's like an emotional relapse after all the light that that Bill experienced, but you don't have to have a physical relapse. And the solution for that, it's something that I still, you know, God is trying to show me the way, is to basically work in the 12th step, and really, where can I be compassionate? Where can I, you know, help somebody in the program who's struggling? And if you, I mean, if you heard myself, I mean, I'm just coming back from a 2-year relapse. So, but I still, I think, you know, God tries to help me now to go away, to look into the light and not into the darkness of the self-centeredness. So, and that's I think that's what I get, what I have today. Thanks for letting me share, and thank you for this great, great meeting. I'll pass.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Tan. That's T-A-N-K from Florida. Up next, we have Mary Lou G, followed by Karen K. Good morning, Mary Lou.
Is it my turn, Mary Lou G?
Yes, ma'am. You go right ahead.
Oh, good. Thank you. Thank you. Mary Lou G from the South Shore of Massachusetts. Longtime listener, and I don't share very often, so I'm here today. It's my birthday, and I thought for a gift to myself, I would speak up and claim my seat. Thank you, Jen, for your service and leading our meeting today, and thank you, everybody, for your shares. Oh, today and always, the line that jumped out at me specifically was the design for living. I used to wake up in the morning with such a full agenda of what I wanted to accomplish, what my expectations were, and I would almost feel nauseous sometimes because my agenda, my schedule was so, so full. I was just filled with this self-importance that I had to do everything. And I failed a lot. I failed, and then I would fall into that self-pity and allow myself just these emotional binges that were just so devastating for me. And it's taken me a long time to work my way out of that, and I didn't do that by myself for sure, but this program and all of you have given me so much, so many tools really to work with God and work with myself, you know, to have a lot of the changes that I've experienced in my life. And I'm just so grateful. And today I'm turning 74 years old. And instead of looking back and saying, why didn't I get this before? I'm saying how grateful I am that I get a lot of it today. And I'm especially grateful to have a design for living today that really does work for me. And I'm grateful for the shares about design for living, and particularly those pages that were mentioned, 80-something through 88, about giving me all of this at night on awakening and throughout the day to turn to God. And to a big one for me has been to allow, if you will, I don't have a better word, God to care for me. Step 3, decision to turn my life and my will over to the care of God. Because by inviting God to care for me, I'm learning how to care for myself and hopefully care for others as well. So thanks so much for letting me share today. I'm so happy to be here, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Mary Lou G. Glad you're here also. Up next, we have Karen K, followed by Claire E. Hey, Karen. Miss Karen K, are you still there? I might have heard something. But did I hear the wrong Karen? Was there another Karen that said? Okay. Well, if Karen comes back on, we'll get to Karen. Otherwise, Claire E from the UK, why don't you go, my friend? If you're available, that'd be great.
I'm just making sure I can be heard. This is Jen A, the moderator.
We hear you, Jen. It's not you. We hear you.
Yes, indeed. Loud and clear.
Thanks, everybody. Okay, so we're looking for Claire E. from the UK. If you're available to step up and share, that'd be great. Otherwise, Susan G., you're up next. There could be a problem with the line. So who is it?
Susan G.'s here. I can step up.
Okay. Susan, yep. Susan, you go ahead, and then we'll go back to Karen and Claire. The line might be a little messed up right now. Go ahead, Susan. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. And I understand about that messing up. This is Susan G., recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee. And first off, I want to thank Tamara C. yesterday for stepping in to read the steps, because for some reason I couldn't get unmuted. So I totally get that. All right, well, I will just say this, that I am a cut-and-run kind of girl, or at least I was in my disease. It was all about me. And so the work with these steps, with this group, I'm seeing myself being transformed from that cut-and-run kind of girl to an altruistic, a person with an altruistic temperament. And I'm seeing that I'm moving into the promised land, the promises land of this program. So I was cut off from one of my daughters for 10 years, haven't ever spoken to her. And because I always thought the ball was in her court, she messed up, you know, and I just stopped. I just gave up on her, and I just stopped being a loving mother. And but I couldn't see it. But it was this work that really helped me see it. And so, through these steps, I'm now traveling towards some promises being fulfilled in my life through my higher power and all of you. And on May 3rd, we're going to reunite. And it is amazing to me that my enthusiasm and this work that has shown me how selfish I have been, and now I want to be helpful to others, and especially those I've hurt, if they would give me the gift to rebuild relationships, and she's doing that for me. And so this enthusiasm is to be an instrument of peace and love and joy. And I help others throughout my day, not just at specific times to sponsor. I absolutely love sponsoring, and I loved being sponsored. And so I'm so grateful for this program, and I just have to say it works. It really does work. And if you want to talk more about it, call me, because I love some outreach. That's all. I'm going to pass with that. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Susan G. from Tennessee. What a miracle. All right. So let's see. We're going to go back to Karen K. Karen K., are you on the line by any chance?
Hi, this is Karen K., recovered compulsive eater from Syracuse, New York, and my credits don't transfer. This is a wonderful text that teaches me how to live. And one of the things, you know, it's great to go to whatever I'm going to go to, or go to a hospital or a sponsor or whatever, but how am I showing up in life when my phone rings? Someone's trying to call me. Am I picking up the phone, or am I letting it go to voicemail? You know, sometimes I'm at work and I really can't pick up the phone, you know, or am I getting a text? Am I texting back? Am I being a true friend to somebody, or a true fellow to somebody? The worst thing, I really don't like this word, the worst thing I can do to another fellow is ghost them and not even respond to them or acknowledge them. And I try to get back to the people that call me within 24 hours. It's kind of like my goal. And I think that's so, so important, because it takes a lot for some people to reach out. And even some people are just capable of just doing, you know, a text. You know, how am I showing up for my husband? You know, last night I didn't cook dinner. He didn't let me know what he wanted for dinner. And I didn't even offer something. I was so selfish. I didn't even cook dinner last night. So I'm making amends for that tonight. And, you know, how am I showing up for work? You know, am I being of service? Am I setting up the mop bucket for somebody? Am I holding them, handing them a mop? Am I being kind? You know, those are the ways for me that I'm able to take this text and use it in my life. It's so easy to use in program, but how am I showing up in my life? And for that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Karen Kay from Syracuse, New York. Up next, we have Miss Claire E. from the UK. Claire, go right ahead.
Oh, thanks, Jen. Sorry, I couldn't unmute the first time I've called back in. My name's Claire E. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Cornwall in the UK. And thank you so much for all the shares. What great shares. And right from the off, when Heidi was sharing about the word enthusiasm, you know, and stay off, it's one of my very favourite words. And, you know, I really do believe that's how I feel my higher power, is these waves of enthusiasm, which are just God-given. But what I really wanted to pick up on in this paragraph, actually, it's I find it very easy to help other people when I'm enthusiastic and in a good space. It's great. I'm on it. I'm in the zone. I find it less easy when I'm plagued by my waves of self-pity and resentment, when I don't feel good, you know. And this bit of the book really reminds me of the bit, you know, in the doctor's opinion, where it talks about us being irritable, restless, and discontent unless we can at once sense the ease and comfort, or to get the effect of ease and comfort from the food. And I'm reminded that I ate for the effect, you know, and that's exactly why I used to eat. I used to eat for the anesthetic, for the ease, for the switch off, for all sorts of reasons and excuses, but it gave me a sense of ease and comfort. And here it describes, you know, that if I can get out of self and go and work with someone else when I feel like that, you know, I get amazingly lifted up and set on my feet. I get an effect from helping other people. You know, I get the same effect, if you like. I get that sense of ease, comfort. And I love the sort of amazingly lifted up. It's kind of like it almost feels like it's something that happens to me, really. I don't do that for myself. It's a byproduct of getting out of self. And it's hard sometimes when I'm in a fog. I don't want to show up like that. I want to show up looking all recovered and shiny and polished and happy and clappy. And, you know, it's really, you know, I find it quite hard sometimes to, you know, metaphorically put on the lipstick and make an effort for somebody else. But when I do that, I get the payoff. I get the byproduct of feeling I get off that phone and feel better. And I remember a long time ago, and I think it was a hang up from treatment when I was in treatment, when I was very much younger, people used to say to me, you know, don't go home with it. Make sure you leave it at the meeting. So I used to go to meetings and dump my crap, tell everyone how awful I felt and what the ins and outs of my life. And I was picked up on it by a former sponsor who said, no, you go to a meeting and we share a message. You go there to help someone else. You go there to help the newcomer. You know, you look for the newcomer in the room or the person who's struggling and you try to help that person. And, you know, as a result, when I learned how to do that, I learned very quickly that means I leave the meeting feeling better. You know, I don't leave the meeting feeling better or a phone call leaving better if I just dump all of my stuff. I leave if I can carry a message, if I can have that entheos, that God working through me and speaking to me in order to try and channel something that might help somebody else. So, yeah, that's what I wanted to share. And thank you for hearing me. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Claire E. from the UK. Up next, we have Lee O. followed by Nancy P. We're going to get everybody in today. Here we go. Go ahead, Lee.
Hi there. Thank you so much. Thank you for all of the shares that happened before. My name is Lee O. I am in South Florida. This is the first time I've shared on this vision meeting since 2014 when I started. And I heard somebody yesterday share, and I can't remember who it was, that it was very important to have people share on the meeting to carry the message, because it's important. That's part of doing service. So that's why I'm sharing today. I have been in since 1997 and not recovered since then, of course, and recently had a really bad relapse, and I'm back from that. I can say I'm recovered right now. But in terms of helping others, I can say truthfully, I can't stand it. It's really hard for me to help others. I help all day long in my profession. And the truth of the matter is, to be really honest, I feel like I have no more to give. However, so I can say that you know, going out with enthusiasm to help others. My profession is a therapist, so I choose not to help people with this illness so I can make sure that I can keep myself sane and clean and make sure that I am recovered. So when it's time to help others during this time, the last thing, I am definitely not enthusiastic. However, when I do it, even when I don't, that 1,000-pound weight, something comes over me that just washes away that block of the ego, that block of that selfishness of, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be bothered. I think that's like my theme to life is I don't want to be bothered. And that washes over me with this sense of ease and comfort and joy to help that next person who is suffering or who is in the middle of their steps or who is recovered and just needs an outreach call. So it is really important for me to pick up that phone, even if it's just one time a day, and to call somebody else and let them know that I'm thinking about them, because that means I'm not thinking about myself, which usually is my life goal. But slowly but surely, my higher power is changing me because it nudged me to share on this meeting. And I can say for the first time in all of my years of recovery, when I hear people relapse, I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but when I hear people relapse today, it's the first time that I'm not envious. I had always been envious of people who relapsed because they got to eat. And this past relapse was so bad that for the first time, I'm not envious. And if nothing else, working with others helps me remember where I came from. So I thank everybody on the line who has shared. And for those who are in the background, I encourage sharing because it keeps me present and reminds me of where I came from. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Lee O from Florida. Glad you got on and unmuted today. We appreciate that. All right, let's see. We've got Nancy P. Go right ahead, Nancy.
Hey, Jen. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Nancy P. recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. You know, I love page 15 of Bill's story. Bill's story is a thumbnail sketch of all of the steps and how they work in someone's life, you know, from the top of the descent down to the bottom and the slog back up to, you know, life and joy. And that's what happened to me. And, you know, I never wanted to help anybody, but they tell you throughout the book, every page, there's some message about how we get better because we work with others, work and self-sacrifice for others. There is nothing before helping other people. Our main object is to be of use to others. And, you know, I know about self-pity like all of us do, and fear and pain and rage and grief and all those things. And like has been said, it's not that I didn't think that I was ever going to have bad feelings again, but my main question, I'd put the food down occasionally, and I'd say the first question that would come to my mind is, why am I still so angry? And abstinence never did it for me. But I can tell you that December 1st, when I first called into A Vision for You of 2017, I have never hurt myself with food since that day. And, you know, my life really hit the fan right after that. And you know, I was told to reach out to others to make phone calls. And I thought, oh, my God, I'd rather shoot myself in the head than do that. But I did it because I wanted to get better. And I have nothing new to say here. You know, what happened was those people saved me. You know, I'd call someone, I'd talk for, you know, as little as 20 seconds and as long as 45 minutes or whatever. I'd hang up the phone, I'd burst into tears, and I'd make another phone call. And I didn't have so much as an extra grain of rice. Not one bite, even though my feelings were like swarming and howling and everything was awful. And, you know, I love this where it says, I soon found that when all other measures failed, work with another alcoholic would save the day. Well, I feel like it works before all other measures fail. In fact, I would go so far as to say it prevents all other measures from failing or any other measures from failing. In fact, it's the only measure I really need to make sure that I do. You know, I put the food down. That's like a baseline. It's not where I live. You know, I start there and everything else happens. And you know,
when it talks about amazingly lifted up and set on my feet, I'm no longer amazed because I've done it for so many years now that it's my go-to place. It's my, you know, it's the one thing that keeps me in fit spiritual condition is work with other people. Whether it's an outreach call, someone calls me, my sponsoring, all that. That is the lifeblood that keeps me in this place of joy that burns, you know, not to be corny, but it just feels like I'm in this place that this joy burns with the heat of 1,000 suns. I mean, and every day it gets better and better and better. You know, and where did I get there? Everybody knows what I'm going to say. Surrender, surrender, surrender. Surrender is a wrecking ball for self. Surrender is like the Rosetta Stone to make sense of all this stuff. I mean, suddenly it's like surrender is like a spiritual chiropractor that puts everything in line and allows me to walk upright. You can't, it's an elixir. Working with other people in surrender is an elixir, and an elixir is like something that has magical healing properties. I was brought back from the dead by other people talking to me, listening to me, helping me, and letting me help them. I mean, it's amazing, and I don't want to dip my toe into the next paragraph, but I would say the joy of living I really have, especially under pressure and difficulty, because anybody can call someone else up and say, a recovered person, say, how's it going? Great, great. How's it going with you? Yep, good, good. Yep, fine. You know, I want to hear from people that need me, you know? I mean, I also want to hear from recovered people, and I call them too, but, you know, I need to be in the thick of it. Otherwise, vicissitudes are going to shake me. And I don't want that anymore. I don't want to be looking for another solution. I have it right here. And with that, I'll pass.
Perfect timing. Awesome. We got everybody in. That's great. So thank you to everyone who shared. Thank you to everyone who was here. Thank you to everyone who did service. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. All right, grab your pen and paper. Here's the share ID from today. Share this information with a sponsee. Share it with a friend. For Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the share ID is 21,337, 21337. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Elena C. please read A Vision for You?
Good morning. Elena C. from South Carolina, recovered. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in the morning meditation what you could do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your fault to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until